Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
My voice is not as as clear as it might be, but I just feel awful. I'd like to talk this morning for a few minutes about something that we have all except for the little one that's just gone to sleep, we have all used this morning, at least once, and maybe more than once. And that is a door. So I want to talk about doors this morning from God's Word. Now, as we know, doors come in all sorts and shapes and sizes. There are open doors, there are locked doors, there are security doors, there are automatic doors, there are fire doors, there are coded doors. In fact, if I arrive late on the same Tuesday in the month, I'm standing outside the door and I can't get in because I don't know the code. And that's because, obviously, it's important to limit access into the premises for certain people. And fortunately, somebody inside sees me and comes and stands in front of the door on the inside, and then I'll also let them get in. So there are all sorts of doors, revolving doors, and even prison doors. And that's just a little list of doors that we're perhaps all familiar with. You know, Jesus talked about a very important door. Now, a door, as far as we're concerned, is usually the way we get into or out from a particular place. And usually, if it's an important door, then it's a place of safety, a place where we feel secure, a place where we feel safe. And Jesus talked about the door in John chapter 10. And he was talking about the sheep and the sheepfold. Isn't it strange that last time I talked to you, I was talking about shepherd and sheep? Well, Jesus was talking about sheep and the sheepfold. And obviously, the sheepfold is a place of safety for the sheep. And Jesus said that he was the door to the sheepfold. In other words, he was the one that kept the sheep secure. He was the one that the sheep went through in order to reach a place of safety. But he went on in those few verses to say a little bit more than that, which was beyond sheep and a sheepfold, because he went on to say that he was the door. And if he was the door, anyone who was prepared to enter in would be saved. And that's a very, very important message, and obviously a very, very important door. Jesus commented on the fact that those that wanted to get into somewhere by another way were thieves and robbers. And unfortunately, even today, we are very much aware of those that try to get into somewhere by some other way. And so, Jesus was telling us that he wanted to provide for us a way into heaven, a way of salvation. He went on to say that he was the good shepherd. And this is the key to Jesus being the door. He went on to say that he was the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And it's only last week, isn't it, that we were remembering around Easter, the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was prepared to die, he made a way for us into heaven. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So we're talking now about more than simply somewhere to be saved. We're talking about somewhere where we can have eternal life. And Jesus was that door. He said himself he was that door. On another occasion of himself, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so, it was pretty plain what Jesus was trying to tell those that were listening to him. But you know, every single door, no matter what its nature, or no matter what its purpose, has two sides. It has an inside, and it has an outside. A few years ago, well, it's a lot of years ago now, when we were in Sunday school, we used to sing a little chorus. And the chorus went like this: "One door, and I thought, one door and only one, and yet it sides the two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet it sides the two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?" And so, a door, and our position in relation to that door is very, very important. But the Bible goes on to talk about another door. In Revelation chapter 3, we have these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and I will dine with him." And Holman Hunt painted a picture which is a reflection of these words. And on this picture we see an image of the Saviour Jesus standing outside a door. And the strange thing about this door is that it has got no handle on the outside. Nowhere on the handle can you see the door. You see, because this is the heart's door, and the handle to that is on the inside. And the only way that Jesus could get in, the only way that his request could be answered successfully, was for the person inside to open the door. It's only a few weeks ago since we were appalled by the devastating air crash in the Alps. And we heard how this plane, this Germanwings plane, had crashed into the side of the mountain. And then as it emerged what had happened and what the circumstances were, we were even more appalled to find out that the co-pilot of this plane had deliberately crashed the plane. And he had done so by making sure that the captain was outside the cockpit. There was nothing the captain could do. And in fact, on the black box recorder, we are told that it can be heard. The voice of the captain is banged on the door, requesting to come in, knowing that if it got into the other side of the door, he might have been able to do something about that plane that was heading for disaster. But unfortunately, the pilot was on the wrong side of the door. He never got in. And so what we have is a terrible disaster which caused the loss of life of 150 people. Now, you know, Jesus, the Bible says, is the creator of the world. But there is nothing that he can do from outside our lives. In order that his death and his resurrection and the Easter story and the illustration that he gave in God's word to have any impact, he has to be on the inside. Now, Jesus, my Saviour, is a perfect gentleman. He won't gatecrash. He won't barge his way in. He won't sneak into our lives when we're not looking. He only comes by invitation. We used to sing a hymn. We still do, I suppose. It's in the hymn books. And the first verse is this. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of Glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. As a young lad of 15, I did that. I opened the door of my heart and invited the Lord Jesus to come in and be my Saviour. And it's some while ago, since I was 15, you'd be surprised to know. But ever since that day, although I have let him down many times, although I have failed him many times, he has never failed me. He has been my friend and my Saviour. Why? Because I'm special? Why? Because I'm unique? Why? Because there is something good about me? No. Because I opened the door of my heart and the Lord Jesus Christ came in. I started this morning by saying that I was going to talk about something that we'd all used. We've all used some sort of a door this morning. My prayer is that if there's anybody here in this little room who hasn't yet opened the door of their heart to Jesus, I pray you will do that and you will learn the joy, know the experience that those of us that have already done that here in this place already know. Amen.